time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
What is it they say? I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live. I'm live today. Got my buddy Ray on my right-hand side. I got my buddy David on my left-hand side, and we've taken over C's McDonald here in Indianapolis, Indiana. My computer's doing a little bit of fritzing up here on me. I can't figure out exactly what's going on. I'm trying to fix it. I'm actually trying to send Jared a clip, but I can't get my computer. Oh, you see how jumpy this thing is, Ray? Hey, good morning, folks. Good morning. We're still in.
I'll email it.
Yeah, okay, David's going to email it. We're still in Indianapolis, part of the Operation Save America. I said yesterday I thought Eva Adel was going to be my guest, but we misconnected or something. And, you know, it's amazing that the internet at the hotel is like unbelievable. And we are at, where are we? We are at McDonald's because the internet's good here. Now, I'm really distracted here, folks. Bear with me a second. My computer is on the fritz here. Ray, look, watch this thing jump on me now. Go up here. I want to click right there, and then it's going to jump on me. I can't get rid of that screen. I see me here. Good morning, folks. Say, Coach, what's going on? Well, there I am. All right, there I am. Wow. I look dark in here. Look like I got a good suntan. We have about 400 people. 400 people out here on the streets in Indianapolis. In fact, I just got an email from a text message from Pastor Mike Spalding. He's on his way from Lima. He left this morning about 6:30. He's going to come and join us here today. Got an email from Richard Rapp. Richard Rapp, we think, is on his way over here from Columbus, Ohio. A lot of great stuff going on. Hey, look, this happens to me, folks, when I get out on the streets like we are, I lose a little bit of sight of everything that's going on or in the world. Not up to date on it. Didn't get a chance really to do a whole lot of show prep here. I got Ray as my show prep, and David Arthur over here is my show prep. But I'm aware of what is going on in the world to a degree. And we've been saying for I don't know how long, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Nothing. And there's the world's on fire. Have you ever heard something like that, Ray? The world's on fire. The culture disintegrating. They pass the salt.
Amen, bro.
You see it. You see it in the political realm right now. And we know this, that the only chance that the God-hating left has is Russia. Russia, 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 Russia. And it looks to me like this whole thing has been somewhat of a setup to try to get Donald Trump. Remember they said he was Putin's boy and all that kind of stuff. And then as soon as Trump goes over there and speaks against, hey, time out a minute. Let me ask the man on the street. Come here, Ray.
Okay.
Here's the man on the street. I'm just going to do a real quick man on the street interview. Sir, would you trust America's FBI and CIA and DHS? Would you trust them?
As far as I could throw them, probably.
Okay, there you go. So that's the man on the street. And when you know, they're getting all mad because they say that Trump doesn't trust the intelligence community. Well, who would? Is this the same intelligence community that told us that told us that the towers fell by planes hitting? Is it the same? That's the same intelligence one? Same intelligence community that killed JFK? And so Trump's supposed to stand and say, oh, yeah, they're the greatest people ever? So here's the good thing. If you have any common sense at all, you're going to understand this, that the left is in a turmoil, man. They are in turmoil. Because I tell you, if, in fact, Trump had a secret meeting with Putin that we don't know about, it doesn't even matter. I got to tell you something. I believe Trump has all the goods. And I believe all the goods involves Brennan and Clapper and Mueller. And I think when they're screaming about Russian collusion and that Trump's bending over for Putin, folks, that ain't it. They know what he knows now. They know that Trump now knows. Yeah, I think he knew anyway. And so what are they all trying to do? Now they're calling for his impeachment, and how dare he speak against America on foreign soil and all that stuff that's going on. Keep your eye on the ball. Now, listen, I'm not going to talk about this today, okay? I got other stuff to talk about. But I'm going to open the door here this morning to somebody who wants to come in and just weigh in on this, on what we're talking about here with the whole Trump, Putin, Russia thing. And sure. We'll bat this thing around for about 10 minutes, and I got to move on to some meteor stuff. Go ahead, Vinny.
Okay, so let me start. Let me set the scenario. This is what you're not being told by the media because of the embargo. Bill Browder accumulated 1.5.
News embargo. Okay.
Right. He got $1.5 billion, $400 million of it, which he gave to the fraudulent and fake Hillary Clinton Foundation.
Hang on a minute now, Vinny. We know that because that's what Putin said, right? Putin said in the press conference that $400 million was given to the Clinton campaign. He said that out of his mouth, right?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so that's, first of all, the foundation's illegal, so she couldn't have gotten that money, and the money was given to her illegally. So that's a crime. That's a real crime, not collusion, which is not a crime. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around how we spent over $17 million on something that wasn't a crime. But regardless, then we go to the server. Trump also mentioned the server. If the server were any proof of actual collusion or any such nonsense, we would have the server. Instead, the server was inspected by a third party. And the FBI took the word of a third party over their own agents, which is ridiculous.
They wanted to take their word. That's why. Sure. They gave them an out, of course.
Right. So understand. We're not getting any information. It's all a big lie. And this whole thing about treason is just obfuscation to cover up the fact that, just like you said, Trump has the goods on him, and now the party's over.
Well, Vinny, the party should be over. We still don't know. I had a meeting with a guy last night, a good friend of mine. I won't say his name. And he pulled me aside and he says, "Coach, listen, you're going to have to organize some people. We cannot wait on this, our government. We can't wait on them to do what's right. We can't wait on them. And they keep baiting us, and they keep showing us all this information and all these facts, and yet nothing ever seems to happen." And Trey Gowdy gets on TV and he blowhards it, and Jimmy Jordan gets on there and he blowhards it. They don't have any authority to do anything about it. And my buddy said, "Listen, we gotta get some people together to do something." Now, I started thinking about the magnitude of what that would even be like and how we would do that. But Vince, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. But I'm not so sure that we can trust those in power to do anything about it. That's my only concern.
Thanks for coming back to me, because we can't trust them. Our court system is beholden to Baphomet and to Mammon. Now, that sounds trite, but what I'm saying is they're beholden to evil. You see what they do. They separate men from their families.
Right.
As some starters. And court cases. Courts are here to enforce contracts and nothing more. People need to understand that. Think about what happened to the Palladinos 2 weekends ago. They were blown up. They're supposed to be under federal witness protection, and their house was blown to splinters. Please explain that, if they were under protection.
Well, again, I don't have my tinfoil hat.
I got mine on.
You saw the Secret Service agent died over in, was it in Wales? Did you guys see that? It was very, very – they had a drone. I don't know if you guys followed this. They had a drone that was – Trump was out playing golf. And a drone shows up while Trump is out playing golf from somewhere. They don't know where it came from. And supposedly they handled that situation. And then we find out that a Secret Service agent died. Google it. A Secret Service agent died on the golf course. So what was it Charles Schumer said? They have six ways from Sunday to be able to get yourself. So we are really in a volatile time in the good old U.S. of A, baby. Again, I don't want to beat this dead horse, because I don't want this to be all about politics. I got some stuff here I want to talk about. But let's keep our eye on what's going on there, because again, it's man, world's on fire, culture's disintegrating. Anybody got anything you want to flop on the table right now before I flop some other things? Another opinion on that or anything? I want to move on. It's the same old, same old. It's the same old. The media is trying to do the exact same thing. Russia, 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 Russia. It's all they have. So now they have Trump look like a fool. They have to make Putin look like a fool. They have to make the intelligence look like it's lies, because if the truth comes out, their goose is cooked. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Anybody? Oh, okay, listen, I got a story to tell you. Fly over here, Ray. This is my old buddy Ray LeBlanc. Let me get over a little bit. I'm going to let Ray tell you a testimony. Guys, yesterday, I got a little video I'm going to show you here. About 400 of it, probably. A lot of young people. Ray LeBlanc had something happen in his life yesterday that could only, I'm telling you, man, you talk about the Holy Spirit. You talk about the steps of a righteous man being ordered by the Lord. You talk about God getting you to where you're supposed to be. You talk about God making a connection that only God can make. I want you to hear this testimony that happened in Ray LeBlanc's life because he was faithful enough to come here. Now, hang on a minute. See, it goes back farther than that. Because Ray LeBlanc, 2 years ago, was faithful enough to come to Buckeye Lake, Ohio, and didn't even know why he came to Buckeye Lake, Ohio. Just was drawn to come there, right? He shows up there, and he didn't know why he shows up. Next thing we know, he's running his stuff all over America, driving, dropping stuff off for people, just kind of a vagabond doing whatever. And yesterday, he ends up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I want you to hear this story. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, it was impressive. Here we go. I'm sideways.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, it was very impressive. Even like Coach had mentioned a month or so ago, I was pursuing the Lord back in that 1980, trying to become a pastor and minister and serve the Lord with all my heart. And just as life would get in the way, it never happened. But praise God, he was able to get me into the ministry.
Get you back on course.
And get me back on course. Yeah, amen. So yesterday, right? Well, it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before.
Monday,
I was downtown Indianapolis at the One Monument Circle, and we have all of the displays up. And there's this one man that was traveling across the country from California, and he's got this big, long cross on a wheel.
Oh, he's about 6 foot tall cross.
Yeah, real big, long cross, right? So he stops and talks with us, and he wanted to take my picture holding the cross. So I put it over my shoulder and I snap a picture. It gets on Facebook. And next thing, my daughter, she's in Pennsylvania, and she sees that picture of me, and she said, "That's my favorite picture. I'm going to keep that picture. That's it." And then she makes a comment. Her last name is Christina LeBlanc Vanderbilt. So Vanderdunk. And she had a friend from her childhood, when she was 16 years ago, when she was just a teenager in trouble, a guy named Steve Whitting. Well, he saw her name attached to my photo, and he says back as a comment, "I just saw that guy 15 minutes ago." And
it was on Facebook.
Yeah, it was on the Facebook page. And so my daughter started corresponding. She said, "Well, that's my dad." And then she told me, she says, "Dad, that's the guy back 16 years ago when I was a drug heroin and they were going to throw me in jail. I was before the judge in the court in Massachusetts. This all took place. And this guy, Steve, stepped up with his Bible, went into the court. He didn't know my daughter that well, but he did know her. And he told the judge, "Listen, don't put her in jail. I will, you know, I can get her help. She needs help." And he said, "Well, who's going to put her in a Christian rehab center in New York called Freedom Village USA. So the judge says, "Well, who's going to pay for this?" He said, "I'll pay for it." He says, "Okay, she's yours. Take her away. You're responsible for her now." And he released her into his custody. Well, she had to go through a heroin withdrawal program and everything, but he paid the whole thing and he sponsored her and got her into Freedom Village. It was a lot of paperwork, a lot of stuff. And through that course of action, she dedicated her life and she's sold out for the Lord. Now, since that happened, she's been witnessing in front of, after 9/11, 3,000 people she got to witness to Christ to. She's been in and out of federal prisons to witness to them. So she's really dedicated her whole life. But it was all started because of this guy, Steve, that took
who
the time.
Shows up where yesterday?
Amen. That's where I got to get to. So here I am in Indianapolis. This all took place in Massachusetts, about 1,000 miles away. And so after he found out I was Christina's dad, he made an effort and came down yesterday. He only works a block away from where I was at. So he came down at 9 o'clock, introduced himself. I was able to thank him for what he had done for my daughter. And the double-edged sword on this whole story is this man 22 years ago was a faithful servant of the Lord, and he has fallen away. He has gotten into the world, and I think this was a refreshment course for him. Like, his mind was all of a sudden drawn back to 16 years ago. Look what I was doing serving the Lord. Now, what happened to my walk? And I think the Lord is probably pulling him back in. So it was just such a blessing to have that happen to me and be able to see the man that helped save my daughter from death and destruction.
16 years later,
yeah,
1,000 miles removed.
Right.
The man who rescued Ray LeBlanc's daughter, the man he had never met before in his life, shows up, and Ray gets a chance to thank him. Yeah. You tell me that's not okay.
That's God.
That's God. What a story, huh? What a story. So, you know,
that's just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. God, that's what they try to make you believe.
God is really doing something, man. He's really, really doing something, and it's because of, you know, Ray's faithfulness. And wouldn't it be only like the Lord if this guy goes back and starts serving the Lord again? Guy probably got drawn away from money and all that kind of stuff. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. Most of the world's lost. You better hear me. Jared, do this real quick. Pull up that video that David Arthur just sent to you. It's about a two minute and 41 second video I made yesterday out in front of what do they call it? One Monument Square. One Monument Square. This is right downtown Indianapolis. This is huge, by the way. I had people point out to me there were Baphomets all over that big monument.
Yes,
array,
yeah.
You know, Isis, whatever she was there. I mean, all these things aren't placed there accidentally. Gargoyles all over the place in this huge monument. But I took a little video yesterday. My sound that you can't hear me very well. I don't know what was going on as I was trying to. You know, I can't get on Facebook, right? So I tried to turn it into a video, post it on YouTube, get it up on there. The sound's not very good, but here's what I want you to guys get, want everybody to get a picture of. We are in ground zero in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we have been able to secure this circular monument right in the heart of it. We set up an abortion display, which I'm going to let you see here. I'm going to try to, Jared, maybe as we go through this, we can read for people what are on the picture. We set up the abortion display. We are playing music, preaching the gospel, and we've been told that it's reverberating 7 blocks down through the city. And whatever direction that you go, bouncing off those walls, preaching's going on, the praise music's going on. So this video that I'm showing you, I want you to understand, you pick whatever city you're in, this is the heart of it. We are at the epicenter downtown, and we were able to secure what they call it, a permit to be there every day. In fact, we're going to head back down there as soon as the show's over. David Arthur broadcast from down there yesterday. Thousands and thousands of people down there hearing the gospel, tracts being handed out. Oh, my goodness, people get mad. You know why? They hate Jesus, man. I'm telling you, the world was, as Pastor Dale said to me yesterday, he says, Coach, they don't hate Jesus. They hate his standards. They love Jesus. They just don't want to do what he tells them to do. So here's what I want to do. I want to play this 2-minute video. And Jared, maybe we can go through it. Every time Jared You'll hear in the background, Dale and some girls are singing music. This music is going on. We're either preaching or playing music, reverberating downtown all day long. Well, by all day long. We get there, it starts about Dale setting up about now, and it'll be done. And we'll leave there probably about 1:30 after the crowd all settles down. And there's continuous praise music or preaching going on the whole time that we're down there. So this two-minute segment, I just want you all to see the abortion display that we've set up downtown, causing not quite, what's it say? Not a small stir being caused downtown there. So, Jared, if you can go ahead and pull that thing up there and stop periodically, Jared, so the people can read. I'm going to try and see if I can find you. My computer's going crazy from here. And let everybody get a good look at the displays that we have. This is downtown Indianapolis. It's a minute, 44 seconds. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, folks. Coach Dave here. Band on Facebook. I like to do a Facebook Live with band. We're in downtown Indianapolis doing some street ministry today. Kind of show you what's going on, what it looks like. We're here with Operation Save America. We're here all week. Sit out from the War Memorial right downtown. Good afternoon. Set up this abortion display. Did the government profit prohibit child abuse?
That sign says, folks, you can't see it. It's got a little boy with his eye, got a black eye. Somebody's beat on him. And it says, should the government prohibit child abuse? And so it shows a little born child with his eye smashed. And then beside of it is a picture of an abortion. And it says, born children, preborn children. Should the government prohibit child abuse, both for born children and preborn children? That's the first banner. Go on, Jared. Then the second one is a picture of a three-panel picture of an aborted baby, and it says this moral wrong should never be a constitutional right. These are designed to provoke thought in people's minds. Go ahead, Derek. When we got up, it's a picture of Jews in the concentration camp, a pile of dead bodies. Then it's got it says un-Gentile, and then has a picture of a black man being lynched, and says unwhite, and then it has the head of a little unborn baby, and it says unborn, showing that the Jews and the blacks were all considered non-persons, and here's this little baby. They're playing the same lie against us. Again, remember, folks, people are walking by seeing these things. They've never seen anything like it. Go ahead, Jared. Well, this is one of my favorites. By the way, there's girls and Dale singing in the background. That's what you're hearing reverberating through downtown. It's a picture of an aborted baby. And it says, would Jesus use bloody pictures to make his point? And it has a picture of a bloody picture. And then beside of it, it has Jesus hanging on the cross. And it says, he already did. He already did use bloody pictures. Go ahead. Then there's another picture. It says the final solution. Again, it was the Jews, separate but equal, showing lynching of a black man and a black woman, and then a picture of an aborted baby saying pro-choice. Again, tying together the idea that if you dehumanize a person, you can kill them. That's the message of the pictures. Picture of an aborted baby. It says the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. Isaiah 59. And it says, whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me, Jesus Christ. Powerful picture. These are big. This is a good one. Three-panel picture. Okay, there, Coach. Get it up there. It shows bombing of Pearl Harbor. It says the Empire of Japan was the first one. And it shows a picture of 911, and it says Islam, Empire of Al-Qaeda and Taliban, and then it shows Planned Parenthood, and it has the numbers that are killed under each picture, and it says 3,600 killed every day. So again, showing people what terror really looks like, right? And how we felt when Pearl Harbor was bombed, how we felt when the towers went down, and they're doing that every day. And then the last picture is the picture of a monkey. They're doing electrical charges to monkey. And it says, can this, Jared's trying there, if this is wrong, showing the experimentation on the monkey. Then another picture of an aborted baby says, if this is wrong. And then the picture says, can this be right? So they're really, really convicting. You go ahead and let the rest of it play, Jared.
Here we are downtown.
It's everybody's downtown, as you can imagine. They're all scrambling to go get something to eat or whatever. So that's Lord's opened up that door. We're going to go back down there and do it again today. I found out yesterday that we were able to rent this place. We got a permit to be down there, Roger, for $1,000. So for less than $200 a day, we're down there hammering the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Somebody come on in here, comment or anything.
Hey, brother. I see a lot of people are made uncomfortable by these pictures, but we need to be more uncomfortable about the actions and not the depictions of these actions.
Jared, while Vinny's talking, Jared, go on David Arthur's webpage and pull up the video of me getting ready to preach. I want you guys to hear a couple minutes of this. I think it was really, really powerful. Go ahead, Vinny. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, I'm down, Jared.
Yeah, no, you didn't cut me off. It's, a lot of people just I don't understand how the pictures make them more uncomfortable than the actual actions. That's what I don't get. It's the representations of actual evil. So deal with the evil, just like dealing with symptoms of problems instead of the actual problems. You never get rid of them.
That's right. Well, see, here's freeze that right there a second. Folks, listen, hear me. I'm going to tell you something. Most of America does not have a functioning conscience anymore. They don't have a conscience at all. And our only hope is the functioning conscience of the church. And the church doesn't even have a functioning conscience anymore. And so what I'm going to play here for you, this went on quite a while. And Jared, maybe you can forward it to about 30-second start. Listen, folks, I just make help me here, Lord. Folks, I believe in the power of the word. I believe in it. But I want you to understand that you cannot always win the battle with the secular mind using the Bible. When you start reading the Bible, if they don't understand, we talk about, right, red pill, blue pill, talk about downloaded, we talk about all that stuff. Folks, they don't have, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. They do not have the ability to understand. I know the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. I understand that. And the word works very strong and very powerfully with other believers. I understand that. But with the lost, the word, sometimes they don't have the transmitter. They don't have the transformer. They don't have the receiver to be able to receive it. So listen, we have to begin to win these arguments with on a secular basis, not with the gospel. So what I want you to watch here for a few minutes is I take them down systematically, scientifically, talk about abortion, not from a spiritual standpoint, because I'm speaking to natural men. David, amen this a minute. Give them your feelings on this, David.
Well, Coach, I always said that. I say you can't really sit in the, you can't stand outside and preach the word, read scripture to the lost, because they don't receive it and they don't understand it, because they don't have the Holy Spirit that helps them and guides them into teaching of the word. And so when we saw that at DC, when I spoke to them on their level, telling them about who they were, what they were searching, what their brokenness was, how they were molested as children, by telling them about me, they shut up and they listened. Mm-hmm. But when I said Jesus, they went crazy. They were in an uproar because they understand not spiritual things. They only understand the things of this world because they're of this world.
So what you're going to – go ahead, Larry.
You know, I'm glad Dale just popped in because I'm fixing to talk about it. In a way, you know, I hardly ever disagree with Dale, but when he said it's not that they hate Jesus, that they hate the standards he stands for, well, I beg to differ, Dale. The word says, if you love me, you would obey my commandments. The fact that they don't want to have anything to do with his commandments, they hate him.
Well, no, I don't remember saying that, Larry.
Here's what I'm saying. They don't hate him. They have a different version of him. listen, if a bomb were to blow, I'm just telling you right now, if a bomb were to blow up in downtown Indianapolis today, everybody would be praying. Everybody would be praying. They don't hate him. They hate his standards. Now, he is his standard. I'm not arguing with you on that, Larry. I'm just trying to clarify what Dale said. And it's true. Everybody loves Jesus when he's bringing them stuff and when he's doing stuff and when they need stuff. They love Jesus then. The point Dale was making, they don't like that Jesus. Hey, David, give me a refill. They don't like that Jesus that brings rules and regulations. That's what Dale meant by it. So I'm not arguing with you, Larry. I'm just defending my brother Dale on what he said. Dale, you can defend yourself. That was a point you made, brother.
Hallelujah.
So Dale's downtown right now setting up the display. And so, guys, here I am. I'm standing behind these pictures that we just looked at with this PA on that's being heard seven blocks down the street. And let's just listen here for a few minutes as I make the secular argument about abortion. Okay, go ahead, Dale. Or Jared. You hear Ray?
Joining us. I see you. I see you over there. Right, here he goes.
Good morning, Indianapolis. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for coming out and spending some time with us here this afternoon. You know, a lot of people walking up and down. We've heard from police officers, we've heard from business owners, the outrage that how dare we be out here and show these broken bodies of these precious little babies. How dare we do that, and that little children walking by are being offended by what they see. We're just here today, Indianapolis, to expose to you the darkness of your own calloused heart. The many of you, as you walk by here and you ponder these pictures and you try to shield the eyes of your own children from the death of other children, I ask you today to check your heart. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you your brother's keeper? You see, folks, we've been lied to. We've been lied to in America. We've been lied to on the idea of Roe versus Wade and the appointment of a new Supreme Court justice. And will he or will he not support or undermine the right of a woman to choose what she will do with her own body? And most of you can repeat that line very good because you've been programmed by the media. Allow me to sharpen your conscience a bit today. When you walk by a pregnant woman or someone in your family is pregnant, I'm just curious, do you ever walk up to them and put your hand on that little baby inside the womb of that woman and say to her, how's your body? How's your body? How old is your body? Your body is 3 months? How many weeks old is your body? Well, of course you wouldn't say that. No, you wouldn't say that. Any thinking, clear thinking human being would say to any woman who's pregnant, how far along is your baby? How's your baby? But all of a sudden, when a woman gets trapped in a situation where she found herself, perhaps it was promiscuous, whatever the reason might be, found herself pregnant, all of a sudden that baby became her body. And so she walks into the doctor's office with the approval of the Church of Indianapolis and says, doctor, would you please remove this growth of tissues that's on my body? Now, everybody who is walking down this street today knows that is foolishness. So the question that we have to ask ourselves today, the question we all must face, is not does the not is that a woman's body? Of course it isn't. About 50% of those little babies growing inside of a woman have male genitals. Now, I know the world is screwed up, but men, women do not have men's genitals. So to walk up to a woman who is pregnant with a baby that happens to be a male, how is that her body?
Amen.
You can cut that off here.
They're just teaching.
Folks, I would encourage you. This is really, it goes on for 11 minutes. This is really, really powerful. And it is an answer to abortion for the secular mind. Do you understand the difference here, folks? I can go into the Bible all I want to and talk about, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and set you apart, and God has a wonderful plan for your life. And all. We're talking about people who have been brainwashed to believe that it is at 45-year-old technology. We can't even convince people that it is a blob of tissue. We haven't moved beyond the blob of tissue, right? And so part of apologetics, and apologetics doesn't mean saying you're sorry, it's explaining. Part of apologetics is to reach the lost secular mind with scientific secular facts. I'm going to tell you something. That's on David's website. I tried to share it on mine. It may be on mine, on my Facebook page as well. But later on today, go watch that. Jared, I don't know if we could turn that into a YouTube. I don't know what we could do with it. It is really, really good. It goes on for, again, 11 minutes, arguing from a scientific, secular perspective why abortion is foolish. Somebody come on in here.
Well, of course, it's not their body. It's a separate body from them. How can they say it's their body? You know, you can't, and as far as I know, murder is still legal, isn't it?
But Vinny, people in the church have bought the argument. Why have people in the church bought the argument? Because they have not heard the secular argument either. See, we cannot assume that the people you go to church with are Christians. You cannot assume that.
Amen.
You cannot, like my buddy David Arthur says, they have an intellectual faith. They sort of get it. They sort of understand it, but there's no depth to it. That's why a person can go to church, receive Jesus Christ as their savior, and a year later think abortion's okay. That's why. See, it's an intellectual. Or as David said yesterday, which was really, really powerful. And by the way, it's probably some of you watching right now who say, well, I received Jesus when I was 6 years old at summer camp. That's it? Well, I was raised in church. I was in church my whole life. Yeah, and here you are, 45 years old, and you ain't got any power at all in your life because you have an intellectual faith. You have an intellectual understanding, but you don't have a deep spiritual understanding. Yes, sir. Come on in.
Very powerful video. You're using the wisdom of the world against them.
Yes, sir.
Very so well. Awesome. Hey, Coach.
Using the wisdom of the world against them. That's what we were doing. Yeah, Jared.
I just think, you know, in Corinthians it talks about how you don't bring somebody to saving grace through reasoning. So just my thought on this is that your goal isn't to save everybody. That's God's job. Your goal is to get them to see. As soon as you say, I'm going to use this reason to save them. No, you say, I'm going to use this reason to see that, to show them that they're murdering people. I don't care if you believe. I don't care if you get quote unquote saved. That's between you and God. What I care is that you stop killing children. And here's why. It's just basic reason, right? It's the same thing with the homo thing. It's the same thing with the financial system. It's the same thing. All you got to do, you're saying, listen, I don't care if you believe. I just care that there's basic law and order and common sense. Can we agree on that, you know?
You have so nailed it. Because I commented last night to somebody. I can't remember who it was. I was on Hagman. Maybe that was where it was. I got an hour on the Hagman report last night. And here's what I said to him. You don't have to be saved to think abortion is wrong. we have people down there who wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up and put his arm around them, right? But they can understand abortion's wrong. They can understand that. See, we've bought into this lie that only Christians are against abortion. Boys and girls, that just ain't true. And as Jeff said when he came in there, we are using the wisdom of the world against them, making the common sense argument. And here's what I believe happens. They're not going to come and fall on their face and receive Jesus and say, you know, Croach, you were right. I've been wrong this whole time. You're right. We planted a seed. And when they go back to the office or they go home or they go someplace and they're living their life, they're going to be throwing about in their secular mind the scientific facts we just laid on the table. And that kind of thing will get them. It will create a curiosity in them that will guide them into all truth. That's why the word says that the law is the schoolmaster that drives them to truth. These guys, many Christians too, don't think abortion's wrong because they don't follow the law. You understand? We've done away with the law in the church. It's all about grace, 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 grace. And because we don't understand the law, we can't even reason with people. But it's amazing how many people who are as lost as can be. I was talking to a homeless guy yesterday, sitting out there in this wheelchair covered up with tinfoil. He was wrapped in tinfoil. It was kind of appropriate. He had a tinfoil hat. And so here he is. He's sitting there. He's as lost as you can be. And he agrees with us. Shouldn't be abortion. There shouldn't be abortion. He can see it. Why can't Christians see it? Can I tell you why, David? Intellectual faith. They have intellectual faith. They don't have saving faith.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I call it, because this was me for years, okay? So I'll use myself as the example. It's called spectator Christianity. I was a spectator. I was no different than the guy sitting on the 50-yard line, front row of the Ohio Buckeye Stadium that's gone to the games for 50 years. I was no more a player in that game than fly to the moon. You know what? JT Barrett had a whole different perspective on the game of football at Ohio State than I did sitting on the 50-yard line. And you know what? That's what changed and transformed. What you guys are doing there in Indy, that's Christianity. That's boots on the ground. That's what we are commanded to do. We're not just gently warned. We're commanded to go out and do that. That's when your faith will come alive. That's when my faith came alive.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Paul said in Corinthians, he says, I plant. This goes right off in the back of what George just said. I plant, another waters, and God gives the increase. If the church don't come out, then there's no planting. If the church don't come out, there's no watering, and God can't bring the increase. It's vital that we go and that we do plant and that we do water, that God then can bring the increase. Like you said, you planted the seed. Brother, if you weren't there, there was no seed planted, and God cannot stimulate the intellect of a man to ponder and to think upon these things.
And Coach.
And Dale, we have to get by this idea that we're going to preach the gospel and they're going to fall on their feet, fall on their knees right there. No, no, no. You got to let that Holy Spirit work, man. It works.
Unless you're Clayton that you saw 2 days ago, brother, that fell on his faith before the Lord, brother, and they called the ambulance thinking that he needed a doctor. They didn't realize he just had the encounter with the greatest physician. He came back out yesterday, and he's coming out today. We're hooking him up with the locals. So every once in a while that does happen. But you're right, Coach. Most of the time they're not. But if we can stimulate, if we'll plant the seed and another will water, God will deal with the intellect, and God will bring forth fruit.
Neil's talking about a young guy who's a homosexual that came and fell on his face violently, to the point they called the squad because they thought he was injured. It was just God was undoing his heart. And David Arthur followed up with this homosexual yesterday, and we're going to do more work with that. Go ahead, Jared. I hear you trying to creep in there.
Yeah, Coach, and with Dale's analogy, right? I mean, one plant's another. Do you think does a farmer only plant when he knows that it's going to be good weather the whole summer and then there's going to be really big corn at the end? No, he plants and he says, well, I hope we don't get bad weather. He just plants. He just plants. He doesn't know the future. He doesn't plant just because the end result is going to be the best corn crop he's ever had. You just plant.
Jared, not only that, he doesn't plant it and then have a corn picker coming right behind him. Right? He understands that thing has to go into the ground and it has to grow and it has to be watered. But eventually the Lord told us that we're going to We're going to pick where we didn't even plant. Do you guys understand that? You understand that? That some of you who are seeing others come to Christ, has it ever dawned on you that you're picking something that somebody else planted? That somebody 10 years ago shared something with somebody and it got into their heart and it grew and it grew and finally all of a sudden, boom, it burst forth. So see, we got to get this mind. We got to get beyond this mindset of getting people saved. I'm sorry. We got to get beyond this mindset. We got to just plant, baby. We just plant. And as Larry has told us over and over, the parable of the sower, the parable of the sower is about the sower. And it's about where he throws that seed. And sometimes you have to be smart enough to say, you know what? This is rocky ground. This isn't a very good place to throw my seed. I'm not going to throw it there. But like when we're out on the streets and that thing's reverberating off those buildings for 7 blocks, we're planting seeds in fields we can't even see.
Hey, Coach, you know what we have to do? We have to go back to appreciating farmers again. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Too many people appreciate these stupid stockbrokers who do nothing but trade money back and forth. Like that's something no one else can do. Farmers do something impossible. Farmers should be getting paid what lawyers get paid and vice versa.
Well, mentality. Why? I'm in McDonald's. We're in McDonald's this morning. Why is McDonald's popular? Because it's fast.
Yeah.
It's fast. Jimmy John's sandwiches. What's Jimmy John's slogan? Anybody know? Freaky fast. We want it immediately. We want it right now. I'm ordering it. Have it here in 10 minutes. Can you do that? If you can have it here in 10 minutes, I'll order it. If not, I'm going to go get it someplace else. And that's become that way in our faith too. See, we don't give it time to grow. And what happens is a lot of times, as the parable of the sower tells us, it gets plucked up. Somebody comes along and plucks it up. And I'm telling you, there are hundreds of people walking the streets of Indianapolis who've had seed planted. And we're trying to water it. That's what we're trying to do. Yes, come on in.
Coach, there's two things that come to mind. As you say, we're in a war. And, you know, in battle, you know, you have the Air Force come in and bomb the enemy's positions to soften them up.
Yeah,
soften and so them what up. You're doing is you're softening the hearts of these people.
Yes, sir.
And then also, too, as a farmer, you know, before they plant their crop, they have to till the soil. So you got to prepare that soil so that it can receive the word. And so that's what you're doing. So,
that's right.
You know, there's some people there that you may never know until, you know, down the road that, hey, I came to Christ because you softened my heart about abortion and the evil of it. And, you know, so.
Isn't that it, huh? It's like a farmer out in the field when he picks the corn, he doesn't drive by and say, oh, I remember when I planted that one. You, I remember that one right there. I remember. No, you plant the field. You let the seed fall where it will. Ray's got something to add.
Yeah, you guys got me stirred up about that. Faith. There's a movie that came out years ago called Faith Like Potatoes. If anybody looked that up and see that movie, it was taken in a dry desert country, I think like Africa. And nobody wanted to plant their crops that year because it was so dry that they knew it wasn't going to grow, except for this one farmer. He had Faith Like Potatoes is the name of it. He planted his seed for potatoes, and it's a true story. And all summer long, it was just dry, and there was no rain. That whole season, there was no rain. And at the end, when you would normally harvest your crop, people were kind of hesitant and unexpected. You know, this can't be anything down there under the ground growing. There was no water, nothing. But because he had faith and planted the potato seeds, God honored it. And when they started digging it up, he's the only one. He had a bumper crop of potatoes and fed that whole community.
Isn't that something, folks? Hey, that Ray, that's a good play. Hey, Jared, if you can, go back, get on David's Facebook page again. Somebody else want to jump in? How much time do we have here? We got 11 minutes. Anybody else? I'm not giving you a lot of scripture today, folks. I'm just giving you religion, Christianity 101, man. Just truth 101. We got to quit worrying about getting knots on our belt. Oh, I got that one saved, and I got that one. How many did you get saved? Did you save any people today? No, I did a lot of planting, though. Yeah, and I hope somebody comes along and waters it. And how much water? But folks, you hear me. I'm telling you this. Maybe 10%. Ray, maybe 10% of the people in downtown Indianapolis yesterday have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. Maybe 10%. That might be high. They have an intellectual understanding, but you can see it in their eyes. They don't want to come up and talk about it. Every once in a while, some Christian will come up and say, oh, thank you for being here. And you know, they get it. They get it. And all those people gone to church, and if a bomb were to blow up, all those people would be praying to God. And yeah, I know Jesus too. Don't you dare believe it. Broad and narrow. Broad and narrow. Why? And it is so real, brother. It is so real.
Yes. But Coach, if that happened, they'd come down here and arrest us first. Because truth is hate and the new terrorism, right? That's what we've become. They would look at us, who really are out here because we love our neighbors. They would think that we are the wrongdoers and it was our fault that this happened.
Amen, buddy. There's Pastor Deal downtown getting everything all set up for us. That boy there, that boy is a workhorse. That's a workhorse. We love you, Dale. Okay, folks, I want to show you something. Where was that interview, David? Slide on down. It's an interview that David did. Whoop, that's all right. Is it the top, Dave? Do you know where it was? Because we were standing up here. Maybe. Ooh, there you're getting to it, Jared. Not on down. There it was. There was. Back up, Jared.
Down, keep going.
Down, David, or up?
Down.
Go down a little bit more, Jared. One more, maybe. This young lady came up to me, going down below me yet. There. One more. And she pointed out, right, is this it, David?
Yeah.
So, right, this is 5 minutes. We won't watch all of it. This lady said, she came up to me and she said, that little boy right there was rescued from the clinic. He's a little guy. She said, I rescued him from the clinic. She said, he was scheduled to die. We rescued him. And then, listen to this. Then we adopted him. And then we adopted his five siblings.
Four
siblings. Total. Adopted five. See, these are the kind of things that we don't hear. These are the kind of Christians that are out there. I don't know if we have time to play this whole 5 minute thing, but this is pretty powerful. David interviews her. Go ahead real quick there, Jared.
Oh, I just wanted to say. Hey, I just wanted to say that when a lot of people go, they feel like they have no hope. They feel like there's nothing they can do. They feel like there's nowhere else to turn. They say, well, there's nothing. Well, nobody cares. Well, if you think that nobody cares, if you think that there's no hope, if you think that there's nothing that can be done, let me tell you that you've never been more wrong, because there are people out there who desire to help. There are people out there who desire to allow that baby to have life and life more abundantly. And what I want to do is introduce you right now to an amazing testimony. This sister right here. Brenda. Brenda has these beautiful children right here, right? How many you have total, Brenda?
Total seven, but five we recently adopted.
Five adopted, two born. She has seven children now. And I want to talk about this young man right here. This phenomenal blessing right here before me. This miracle. And I want you to know just how much and just the way people care. You think that nobody wants to help you. You think that you're at the edge of your rope. You think that there's nothing that can be done. Let me tell you, I want Brenda to tell me about this young man right here. And I'm going to switch this camera around, folks. Okay. Can't turn. Okay. So
this is Alex, and Alex has an amazing testimony, and basically he was scheduled to die at a Planned Parenthood, and I had the privilege of speaking to his birth mother and counseling her on the sidewalk and shared with her that there's so much help out there, that she doesn't have to murder her baby. And thank God that she did change her mind, and Alex is here today.
Hallelujah.
And, through the course of a year or so, she was just no longer able to take care of her children. And after really forming a relationship with her and helping helping her through the ministry. She basically let us take her children, and my husband and I adopted Alex and his four other siblings. And
hallelujah.
There is help out there. There are people that are willing to take your baby. We do adopt children. We're not just out there condemning people, telling them not to kill their baby, which they shouldn't kill their baby. There's so much hope. And obviously, the only reason we can do this, I can do this, is through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we give him all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Anything you want to say, Alex?
No.
No? How about you? No? How about you? No. Thank you so much, Brenda. And thank you. Not only thank you for sharing your story, but thank you, Brenda, for all that you're doing right here. And folks, call it the Holy Spirit, but let me say this. I know that it's not easy adopting five children, all because they can't be taken care of. I know it's not easy adopting one child. It's easy to adopt that one child if they're scheduled for death, right? But it's not easy financially. And so I would just say that I'm going to be in touch with Brenda. And if anybody wants to reach out and provide any assistance or help for Brenda and her family. And let me just say, we didn't even talk about this. This was something that I feel in the spirit right now. That if anybody wants to help out and give to Brenda and help her with her seven children, her and her husband, they've adopted five children, y'all. All because the mother couldn't take care of them. They saved this young man. They saved Alex from death. He was in his mother's womb. He was scheduled to be terminated. And they said they rescued him, much the same way Jesus has rescued you.
There you go. Listen, this can be found at David Arthur's I Belong Amen on Facebook. I Belong Amen. And if you know, that's a whole nother issue. If we want to be able to help her financially. I'm just showing you folks that some people get it and some people don't get it. And sitting silently in our churches is killing us. It's killing us, man. Listen, Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Hey, boys and girls, the fish ain't in the aquarium. They're outside. Go to them. That's what we're trying to do here in Indianapolis. Somebody help me wrap it up. We've got just a couple minutes left.
Well, that was just amazing testimony. Amazing testimony.
Amazing. And but see, let me encourage you this. We got 400 people here. We got, what, Ray, 200 children?
I would say so, yeah.
We got an amazing amount of young people that are with us who are being trained up in how to combat this, how to fight back against this stuff. So so listen, folks, I want to say this. There are a lot of guys here. Hear me. There are a lot of guys here who don't have the money to be. They're staying in hotels. They've driven a long way. I'm doing the best I can to help. The fellas, we have laborers in the field here. And if the Lord would move upon your heart to help us keep these soldiers fighting, I sure would appreciate it. You can do that at CoachDaveLive.com. I would hope that you would prick in your conscience and understand that there's far more ministry going on here than is ever going on in that big building that you go to and you call a church.
Yeah.
There's real ministry going on here. There's real planning. There's real watering. There's real chopping up of the soil. There's real place there. And just pray that the Lord maybe would move upon your heart to help us out. So we're in McDonald's, huh? We're in McDonald's and they didn't kill us. I'm going to get a cup of coffee, senior coffee, and take it with me as we leave here. We're going to go back down on the streets. Pastor Mike Spaulding, I know you're listening, brother. We look forward to seeing Richard Rapp, anybody else that's driving. Sandy. Sandy's coming in. Anybody else that's still coming in. What a great opportunity to be able to serve the Lord. So bless you all. Thanks for being with us, and we'll give you an update again tomorrow. God bless.